Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans. And we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. You'll hear the scoop from the skipper. Now, live from the International Hyundai Greenfield and Hyundai West Dallas studios, this is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball on Deck Show, built by Ozinga. Together, building better. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is, and welcome in, Brewers fans. Rami Makhlouf, live from the International Hyundai Greenfield and Hyundai West Dallas studios, getting you ready for Game 2 between the Brewers and the D-backs from Chase Field. I almost said Demonbacks. I don't know where that came from. And that's coming up in just over an hour from now. Coming up between now and then in just a few minutes, I'll get you the lineups for tonight's game. And then we'll hear from the skipper, get the scoop from the skipper, Craig Counsell, coming up in just a few minutes as well. In the roundtable this evening, I'll talk with Bill Michaels and Anthony Mandela, a.k.a. Clark Kent, about all the day's Brewers issues. That's coming up at about 7:45. We'll go inside the clubhouse with Milwaukee baseball insider Adam McAlvey just after 8 o'clock. And Tim Allen, the franchise, makes his daily visit to the On Deck Show coming up at about 8:15. Craig Counsell said he could use a nice long start out of his starter Junior Guerra yesterday, and he got just that, six innings, giving up just two runs on three hits. He struck out three and walked four batters. That was good enough that this single by Christian Yelich would have been enough.
Chafin is on. He gets a lot of ground balls, but not this time as Yelich goes the other way. Here comes Villar. Here's the throw from Peralta. Brewers take the lead. Yelich off the bench with a pitch single.
And not messing around. First pitch, dumps it into left.
The highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. That made it 3-2. The Brewers could have stopped the scoring there, but they didn't.
And that is hit well. Out to left center field. Back goes Pollock. It is gone. Jonathan Villar goes opposite field, and it's 5-2 Milwaukee.
And Tyler Saladino got one of those long balls, but did it little league style.
Saladino to center field. Pollock a long run. Can't get it. It's going to go up the wall. Yelich will score. Saladino rounding third. Eddie Cedar waving him around. Throw to the plate. And safe at home is Saladino. An inside the park home run.
Those three insurance runs in the ninth inning made for a 7-2 final. Josh Hader came in. He worked two human innings. He gave up two hits, only struck out two D-backs, but no runs. And Taylor Williams worked the ninth to close things out. So now the Brewers winners are 4 of 5 so far on this road trip. They try to make it 5 of 6 in just over an hour from right now from Chase Field.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show, built by Ozinga on The Fan. Who's leading off? Who's batting cleanup? Here's today's look around the diamond with the Waukesha Sports Cards starting lineup. Do you have an upcoming charity event or fundraiser? Waukesha Sports Cards has a great selection of authentic autographed sports memorabilia. Call them at 262-544-0959.
Always start with the visitors tonight. That is your Brewers. Lorenzo Cain is leading off. He'll be in center field. Christian Yelich is in left field. He'll bat second. Batting third at first base, Jesus Aguilar. Travis Shaw is at third base. He'll be cleaning up. Domingo Santana's in right field, batting fifth, batting sixth to second baseman Jonathan Villar. Manny Pena, he'll be behind the plate and batting seventh, batting eighth to shortstop Orlando Arcia. On the mound, batting ninth, Jolys Chacin. He comes in 3-1 with a flat 4 ERA. Brewers have won each of Chacin's last five starts, including an outing against his former club in Colorado during this road trip. Meanwhile, for the Diamondbacks, it'll be David Peralta in left field and leading off, batting second, center fielder Chris Owings. Daniel Descalso is at third and batting third. Paul Goldschmidt cleaning up. He'll be over at first base. Steven Souza is in right field. He'll bat fifth, batting sixth, second baseman Ketel Marte. Batting seventh, the shortstop Nick Ahmed. Behind the plate, batting eighth, Jeff Mathis on the mound and batting ninth is former Brewer Zach Greinke. Comes in 3-2 with a 3.70 ERA. Got a no decision his last time out against the Nationals, despite giving up just one run over seven innings. He also drove in the D-backs' low run in the game and stole his sixth career base. So those items for you again one more time quickly. For the Brewers, it's Kane, Yelich, Aguilar, Shaw, Santana, VR, Pena, Arcia, and Chacin. For the D-backs, it'll be Peralta, Owings, Descalso, Goldschmidt, Souza, Marte, Ahmed, Mathis, yeah, I lost my place there, and Zach Greinke on the mound and batting ninth.
What's Craig Counsell have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's Scoop from the Skipper. This is the Pella Windows and Doors on Deck Show, built by Ozinga on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Before we move ahead completely to tonight's game, let's take one more look back and hear from manager Craig Counsell after the 7-2 win over the D-backs in the opener of this three-game series, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
I thought we had good at-bats, you know, with guys in scoring position a bunch tonight, starting, you know, all the way back in the second inning with VR and Arcia having two great at-bats to give us a two-run lead. So, you know, and then, you know, Yelich obviously has a really nice at-bat, too, to get the run ahead. Kane's got a great at-bat to walk, and then Domingo had a nice two-strike ball to, you know, sack fly to give us a two-run lead. So, bunch of, you know, kind of quality at-bats tonight, moving the line, and, you know, that was the difference.
You said you would welcome a deep start from June tonight. How much did that set you up for the late innings?
Yeah, no, it was, we really, really needed it, and, you know, it looked like it was kind of going to script as I was hoping to get two from Josh, and then Corey was going to close it out, and, you know, Tyler hits the inside of the Parker. Luckily, we were able to get Taylor ready.
It seemed like it was mainly fastball for Junior.
It was a lot of fastball tonight for sure. And it was a good fastball. It was a very good fastball tonight. You know, there was a bunch of 95s up there. So probably his best fastball tonight. And, you know, he just didn't feel great with the split at times. So he stuck with the fastball and did a nice job with it.
So you're one of the teams that likes hitting in this ballpark, obviously. That's really a getting a good rhythm going here.
Yeah, I mean it's not so much. I think we're getting hopefully some of our guys going. Johnny VR had a big night. He's a player that we need to get going. You know, Domingo with the sack fly is a nice at bat. Manny Pena's starting to have really nice at bats. So some guys that really at the bottom of the lineup tonight was the guys that kind of did the damage. So it's good to see those guys going.
You talked before the game about that Colorado series being one you circled, but this is a big one. Sort of to get it off on a good note. I feel like this was a
Well, I'm looking back when I talk about the Colorado series. I mean, I think every place we go, we're going to be talking about big series, and this is a very good baseball team. Tough to beat them. We're at their place, so good start to the series where we did the job.
What sort of an early impression is Saladino leaving?
Well, he's stung the ball. It seems like probably six of the eight times he's went up there, he's hit the ball right on the screws. So he's doing a nice job. He's made a good impression as a defender. He's handled the pinch hit role very well. So very useful player. Very useful player.
The interesting thing about Johnny's big night is he wasn't in your lineup. You know, he scratched Ryan and he comes in. Advantage of an opportunity there.
Yeah, I should have had him in the original lineup. Is that what you're saying? I think there are two things. One, driving the ball left-handed is something that we need from him. And he's struggled a little bit right-handed, but yesterday he hit that ball in Colorado. It was like right for him the way he hit that ball. And the base hit in the seventh was kind of the same ball, just a line drive to right field. He had some quality at bats tonight, really. And obviously, I talked about the second inning where he hung on a lot of sliders and finally got one up. I thought he gave Arcia a good kind of tutorial on what he was going to see, and allowed Arcia to get a breaking ball up to get the base hit. So he had a big game tonight for us for sure.
We talked about that pregame about laying off the slider and how that puts you guys in a better place.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a very good slider. And, you know, we had trouble with it, you know, the first time around. You know, we had trouble with it all night, really. It's a good slider, but he doesn't throw it for strikes a lot. So if you can identify, you know, the ball down, I think you can get into a better count situation where he's got to throw strikes.
Did you like that you were able to switch off and enable the Taylor Williamson save to Corey?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just kind of a function of the score and, you know, to save Corey's bullets for another day.
Is Ryan just that thing he has from time to time with his back, or is it something different?
Yeah, it's different, but it's a back thing again. So you know, we're day to day with it.
Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. So who's injured on the crew? Here's today's injury report on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Figured this was a good place to go the way Craig Counsell closed out that post-game press conference yesterday. The latest on Ryan Braun, he is day-to-day, they're saying, with that right mid-back tightness. To hear our Milwaukee baseball insider Adam McAlvey tell it, though, this sounds a little bit different than what Ryan Braun has dealt with in the past.
First and foremost, Ryan Braun last night, some back issues. What do we know?
That it's not the exact same issue that sidelined him before. It's something a little different. So that may be a little more concerning that it's a new ailment. And, you know, we know that this is just going to be ongoing. This is where he's at in his career. I don't expect this to go away. I think there's just going to be days where he's in the lineup, and then all of a sudden he's not.
That's not good news that this is going to be an ongoing issue, it sounds like, but you can't say that it's necessarily surprising news, so obviously we'll keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, yesterday they updated Chase Anderson's status and said they're looking for him to come back May 21st. He was placed on the 10-day DL on May 13th. That was retroactive to the 10th, though, with an illness. And also something that kind of flew under the radar yesterday, they changed Zach Davies' possible return date to possibly May, where he was supposed to miss just one start. He's already missed two, and now they're saying that he may not be back this month. That would be at least another two starts missed with that right rotator cuff inflammation if that timetable holds. He was placed on the 10-day DL May 3rd, retroactive to April 30th. Last we heard, he played catch back just a couple days ago on the 13th, so that was on Sunday, and he is set for a bullpen session tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. That clip you heard there was Adam McAlvey with Bill Michaels earlier today. You'll hear the full interview when we take you inside the clubhouse just after 8 o'clock. You'll hear from Bill Michaels himself as part of the roundtable right after a short break here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga on the only station Brewers fans need, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable, sponsored by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is, and we sit just about 53 minutes away from first pitch between the Brewers and the D-backs in game two of a three-game set from Chase Field in Arizona. Rami Makhlouf getting you ready for it coming up just after 8 o'clock. We'll hear from Milwaukee baseball insider Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com. His conversation with Bill Michaels, who is my first guest joining me here on the roundtable on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can hear him weekdays 10 to 2 right here on The Fan statewide on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Bill, how are you this evening, sir?
Doing well, Rami. Doing well.
Also joining me on the other side of the glass, he's a producer here at The Fan. He also hosts this fine show on the weekends. He is Anthony Mandela. Anthony, how are you this evening? I already know that. I don't know why I'm asking you that. We talked before I turned the mics on.
Yeah, we did, but yeah, that's part of the Rami Makhlouf charm.
Right. It's supposed to be like I'm pretending like, oh, hey, how you doing? Right. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I meant it when
the
I asked.
The magic of radio.
I meant it when I asked Bill that, because I haven't seen Bill since 2 o'clock this afternoon.
All that time ago.
Bill, let me start with you. A conversation that we had on the big show this afternoon. Brewers 25-17 at about the quarter mark of the season. They're pacing for 100 wins. I'm not necessarily asking about the wins, but just the level of play. Do you think that they can keep this up for the other three quarters of the season?
Well, the biggest number to look at right now is team ERA is their top 10 in all of baseball. They're seventh, as a matter of fact. I was going over the numbers today. You know, the Cubs are there. The Cardinals are there. Pittsburgh's there. You've got those teams all in the National League Central, and all teams right now are throwing the ball extremely well. I mean, the Brewers have really relied upon their bullpen more than anything, but I said all along they're going to win a lot of games if they can score about 4.5, 4.25 runs a game on average for the season. But nobody expected their pitching staff, specifically the bullpen, to be this good. We were all worried about an extra starter, and it turns out it hasn't been the starters. It's actually been the bats at times that has let them down. So I assume that once the weather heats up, playing in the National League Central, more games at Wrigley, more games at Great American, more games at Miller Park, that offense is going to come around. And as long as you're getting good pitching and maybe you get a decent Jimmy Nelson back, and a Corey Knebel that can remain healthy, I mean, who knows what this team can do. So to say they're pacing on 100, do I think they're going to end up there? No, but I would say at this rate, the way they're playing, and they're getting a little bit of luck alongside, they could end up with close to 90 wins and really be in the wild card hunt by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, I thought the bullpen would be good, Bill, but not this good. I mean, it's the best in baseball, really, them and the D-backs who they're facing this week. Anthony, do you think that bullpen and the rest of this Brewers squad can keep up this level of play?
I think when you say 100 wins, it kind of puts people on notice because that's something that has never happened with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right.
But I don't think we've really seen this team firing on all cylinders yet. The bullpen has been better than expected. The bats have been, I think, less productive or a bit frustrating at times than expected. So all things considered, you're getting what you maybe overall expected in terms of a team outcome. And with that in mind, they're still, I don't think, performing at the level that people hoped or expected for. So it's scary to think that if everything does get going and guys get healthy, that they could absolutely achieve that. It's just over the course of a 162-game season if that's actually doable or not.
Yeah, and you guys both bring me to my next point. You're both pointing out that really this offense hasn't clicked yet, and the starting pitching has been good, but they certainly could go a little deeper in games from time to time. Could we see better baseball from this Brewers team this season, Anthony Mandel?
I think absolutely yes, you can, especially as you see guys like Chase Anderson get right. I think he'll settle in later in the season. Zach Davies gets healthy, hopefully, and he's always better down the stretch than he is to start the season. You get Jimmy Nelson back. If he's even close to what he was last year, that helps. You make a move at the deadline, possibly, for starting pitching. That helps. So there's really no way, unless you just continue to be riddled with injuries, that the pace they're on can really slow down, I don't think.
Bill, do you think there's another level up for this Brewers team, that they could be playing at even a higher level when things are clicking on all cylinders?
Well, let's look at it this way. You're going to get Eric Thames back. He's always a threat in the lineup, and he makes the lineup better. If Arcia, who didn't start really hitting until after May 15th of last year, begins to hit, VR is having a better season by about 30 points from where he was last year. You know, you've got Domingo Santana struggling a little bit, but you assume that he's going to only get better or stay a little bit above average. And then Christian Yelich, Kane and Yelich, both of those guys have been godsends. If you can get Travis Shaw hitting the ball and get Pena back to, say, 250, imagine the second half of the season he could have. Yeah, you're going to see better baseball. And one thing that you guys didn't mention was Guerra. Guerra's been good. Chassin, after the first week of the season, has been really good. So if those guys continue to throw the ball well, you may not need to get another starting pitcher. What you may just want to do is just to continue to bolster your bullpen and make sure that you're injury-free, get a few guys back, and then all of a sudden you've got depth to play with. I mean, I think that was the goal from David Stearns going into the season, was because he had said, look, we only have to get so many outs. We don't have to do it with a starter. We can do it with numerous guys coming out of the pen, and they're getting it done with Hader, who's been a godsend. So I think if the offense gets better and takes a little bit of pressure off this starting rotation and off the pen, yeah, I think you could see a lot better baseball. Really, really exciting baseball and long win streaks.
It's the round table here with Bill Michaels and Anthony Mandela on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. The flip side of that, though, Bill, is that they could slip a little bit. They could come back down to earth a little bit. What do you see on this Brewers team? What facet of their game, or maybe even a specific player, do you look at and go, yeah, I don't know if he can keep that up? If there's a drop-off, it's probably going to come from fill in the blank.
Well, if Christian Yelich, but nobody expects that. If Lorenzo Cain suddenly goes south, or you have an injury, and Ryan Braun's nicked up, and then you got Brett Phillips who struggled, and they bring him back up, and suddenly you got another kind of a hole in your lineup, yeah, then things can go south and go south in a hurry. Let's say Pena doesn't come back, and he continues to stay right around 200, 220. Let's say Thames comes back, and he just doesn't have the same power, and he doesn't really protect you in the lineup anymore. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. Or say Guerra starts to have the season he had last year. You look at a guy like Chacin, who didn't pitch well early on, but really has kind of dialed it in, but loses it again. Let's say Jimmy Nelson comes back and just doesn't look like the Jimmy Nelson we saw last year, but like the Jimmy Nelson of 3 years ago. All those things could happen, and yeah, the wheels could suddenly come off the train, but I don't foresee that happening right now. I foresee a team, put it this way, guys, this team's in first place, and they haven't played their best baseball, and they've been shut out 8 times. I mean, they're in first place right now. So, I mean, if you're going to look at the glass is half full, that's what I'm looking at right now, is a team that hasn't played their best baseball, and they're in first place.
No, absolutely. I think that's got to be the way that you look at it. But, Anthony, is there anything that's going well for this Brewers team that you question as to whether or not it can continue to go in that way?
Yeah, I think we get a little caught up in Josh Hader because he's kind of the shiny new toy and he's got the long blonde locks and all that. But unless my memory's failing me or I missed something over the weekend, you have a guy in Jeremy Jeffress who's given up one run, earned or otherwise,
all season.
All season. He's by far been the most effective bullpen pitcher if you're talking about keeping runs off the board. And he's always pitched better in Milwaukee than he has anywhere else. But I don't think that for JJ, just because that's such an impressive run out of the bullpen that Hall of Famers, All-Stars alike, just simply don't maintain over the course of a full MLB season. I don't know if JJ can keep that going. And if you lose him in the bullpen and you maybe lose another guy to injury in that bullpen, and when I say you lose JJ, I mean you lose the JJ that you have right now, I don't know that that bullpen is going to be as nasty as it's been, because he's been a guy that Craig Counsell has been able to turn to when basically the whole everything is on fire, bases loaded, runners at the corners, one, maybe no outs, and he's been able to work him out of jams, and that's an invaluable part of this team, especially when you're winning games only by one or two runs a night.
I want to talk about
right.
Go ahead, Bill.
Real quick. I mean, you go back to the late 80s Reds, and this is what I can equate it to. When you got Hader, Jeffries, Jeremy Jeffress, and when you got Corey Knebel all locked in, doesn't that remind you what Rob Dibble and company brought to the table with the Nasty Boys? They could go 2 innings, they could go 1 out, but the last 3 innings of a ball game, if you got it to them, you were done. And that's what they've got right now in those three, if all three remain healthy and all three remain throwing the ball real well.
Yeah, somebody made that comparison last week on the Wendy's Big Show. I don't remember if it was a guest we had or a caller, but somebody did bring up that comparison to that Reds bullpen. I want to bring up Ryan Braun real quick before we wrap this up. Yesterday, our National Baseball Insider, Seth Everett, who joins us on the Big Show every week. Bill, I know he joins you on your show every week. He brought up the possibility of this Ryan Braun situation going the way that the Ryan Howard situation went with Philly, where he had a guy who had a big contract and his production dropped off dramatically. He had consistent injury issues, and eventually they came to a settlement where they paid Ryan Howard a certain amount of money. I don't remember what it was, but it certainly wasn't the full value that was remaining on his contract, and they agreed to part ways, and that was effectively the end of Ryan Howard's career. Bill, could you see that going this way here in Milwaukee with Ryan Braun, and would you be okay with that if they decided to cut ties with him in that fashion?
Well, I would say you would have to have the remainder of this season, the beginning of next, where it just wasn't working out, and he was just mired in sub-mediocrity. I mean, I think right now you've got an owner that really likes him, genuinely likes him. I think that from all accounts, we've heard that he's got this leadership presence in the clubhouse, something that we don't see, but certainly sure. Other guys do. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to kind of straighten it out. I personally think he's better when he plays more, and I think they've babied him so much that you're almost giving him the ability to break down at times just by not using the body so much. So if he breaks down and doesn't hit, say, above 240, 250 this season, remember, guys, beginning of the season, he was finally giving you some of that flair for the dramatic. He wasn't hitting the hell out of the ball, but he was giving you big hits at big times.
True.
And we hadn't seen that at all last season. So if he can come back and give you that, they're going to hang on to him because they're going to need stuff like that. So can I see it? Yes. But it would take a lot for them to finally come to that conclusion.
Anthony, how much would it take for you to come to that conclusion if you were running things?
I don't think it's doable. I think because the Phillies have so much more money available to them as like a top 5 market in Major League Baseball, I would say. And also, Ryan Howard could play one position. Ryan Braun, maybe he can't play them well, but he can play more than one at least.
Sure.
If you've followed me on Twitter or listened to me on this station, you know I have very strong feelings about not playing Ryan Braun at first base ever again. But I think with his position versatility, what he means to you as a franchise, we're talking about a Phillies organization too that when they had Ryan Howard as a big name, also had Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley there. Ryan Braun's really the face of this franchise for the past 10, 15, 20 years. He's the biggest name that we've had in town. And so unless you can get someone to pick up that contract, I just don't see, whether it's David Stearns pulling the strings, Mark Adonasio pulling the strings, I just don't see any sort of deal where they just cut bait with him for nothing in return, even if it's just part of that contract back.
And you can follow him on Twitter at Anthony Mandela and catch him frequently on the weekends hosting this very On Deck show. Thank you for stepping in at the last minute to do the roundtable, Anthony. I always appreciate it. And Bill Michaels, hear him, of course, weekdays 10 to 2 right here on The Fan and on statewide on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Bill, always appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Robbie. See you.
Bill Michaels joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank, committed to providing uniquely tailored common sense mortgage products since 1935. Adam McCalvey has the latest on Ryan Braun as we take you inside the clubhouse next on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show, built by Ozinga. Together, building better on the only station Brewers fans need, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Good food, good drinks, good people, and great fun. This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show, built by Ozinga on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
36 minutes from first pitch between the Brewers and the D-backs. Game two of this three-game set, Rami Makhlouf getting you ready for it live from the International Hyundai Greenfield and Hyundai West Dallas Studios. It is time to go inside the clubhouse. Who better to take us in there than our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McCalvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. He joined the Bill Michaels show today. Bill started things off by asking him, do we know anything new about Ryan Braun and his injured back? And here was Adam's answer.
That it's not the exact same issue that's sidelined him before. It's something a little different. So that may be a little more concerning that it's a new ailment. And, you know, we know that this is just going to be ongoing. This is where he's at in his career. This is why they have the basically four guys for three spots. I don't expect this to go away. I think there's just going to be days where he's in the lineup and then all of a sudden he's not because he's got some kind of physical thing going on. This is just the new normal for him.
And then last night we had questions. We had a couple of callers that talked about Ed Cedar down at third base with Pena, not sending him in early on in the ball game, and then obviously that quick ground ball down to third, in which then Pena took off and got thrown out. Was that a go-on contact type of play, or was that something that was a delay? Or talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that looked like contact, which always makes everybody upset when it doesn't work, and then sort of doesn't stand out as much when it does work. And it's, you know, when it does work, it's a run scoring ground out and no one talks about the third base coach. I don't know. To me, we've asked counsel about this before. He said they're going to be aggressive. That Ed Cedar has been instructed to be, now, this wasn't an Ed Cedar last night, but just, I'm talking generally now. Ed Cedar has been instructed to be aggressive. And, you know, the way they're going as an offense so far, it makes a little bit of sense to be aggressive in spots because you're not getting a lot of hits. Now, I'll say one of the things about this trip that's happening is they're scoring runs. It's at least five. They've won four or five. They've scored at least five runs in all of those victories. They got shut out then in the other game, and that was against a lefty, Kyle Freeland. So I think it was, you know, to score some runs. They got a couple of runs off of Patrick Corbin, who's really good for the D-backs, but then to win a game against a lefty starter, I think is big. They've not, for that, that's one of the things quietly going on this year with this offense, is they're not producing against lefties. They're near the bottom of baseball in OPS against left-handed pitchers, and when you look around this lineup, it makes sense. Ryan Braun's not done nearly what's been expected. Domingo Santana's come on, you know, even before this road trip, probably on the last homestand. But his numbers are way down. Arcia's numbers are way down. Pena's coming on now. I think he's just got his health back. But some of these right-handed hitters who produced offense for you last year are not this year. And it is, you know, it's leading to some trouble against lefties. So that was another thing that happened yesterday. I thought that was, you know, a little bit notable as you try to look forward.
But look, I still think they're going to be aggressive in sending guys, and it's going to lead to some outs at the plate. And it's not because Ed Cedar is a bad third base coach. It's because that's what they're trying to do.
The other injuries, I want to talk about Jimmy Nelson real quick. Is he still on target at the end of the month or the beginning of next month?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that is a target. I don't know. I mean, he's still in the flat ground, 150 feet. Every now and then I do an update, and it's kind of the same. And they knew that this final stage of flat ground was going to be the long one. The next stage is getting up on a mound. And once he gets up on a mound, that's when you can know when he's going to – that's when you can map it. You can't map it right now because you don't know when he's going to get on a mound. So every time, you know, we ask, and there's no setback. There's no – they say he's still ahead of what the schedule should have been when he went into this. There's no problems going on. You see, if you're in the clubhouse, Jimmy Nelson is like, you know, bathed in sweat every day. He's working out. It's kind of like a running joke that, oh, Jimmy's working out again. What a shocker. So he's doing the things he needs to do, but he just needs to clear that hurdle where, you know, he's got enough arm strength to get back up on a mound, and it's not there as far as we know, unless this secretly happened yesterday amid all the other stuff going on. It hasn't happened yet, but I think he's getting there. And every week or 2 weeks, I ask and just kind of make sure we're not missing anything, that he's getting past this flat ground stage.
So with this team, offensively speaking, we know that, you know, some guys, we went over the numbers a little while ago. I mean, you know, got some guys that are starting to have pretty decent years when you start to look at the numbers. If they get all the way through the end of May, some of the guys that you thought, well, they need questionable seasons coming in, that they're going to be a little bit better. Guy like VR starting to hit the ball. Things are looking good. Kane, obviously, is having a good season. So is a guy like Yelich. What concerns you right now offensively? Does Pena still concern you in all of this? Does Domingo Santana, who was not hitting the cover off the ball for a while, that he's finally starting to come back a little bit? Is he feeling good? I mean, what concerns you right now?
You know, that lefty thing stands out right now is a number that they're going to have to improve. But that's going to come with Domingo Santana performing better. If Arcia can get some hits, that would help that. You know, I think I don't sense a great deal of alarm about what's happening offensively. I think they've viewed it as, if given time, this group will come around. I mean, I still think second base is the one where if you want to add, that's the spot where you add, because you just don't have anyone entrenched right there. And with Mauricio Dubon out, you don't have a prospect, you know, a real kind of an impact prospect ready to come up. So I don't sense that they're alarmed about the offense. I think they think that give it time, get the warm. We've all seen what happens at Miller Park once it starts to get nice out. Let that sort of happen. And some of these guys who are off to slow starts, it's been kind of individual positions off to slow starts. And a lot of those guys have been at the bottom of the lineup. Give them time and they'll get going. And we've kind of seen that on this road trip in Colorado. Was it the first game? They got a lot of production at the bottom of the order from Arcia and those guys. And then last night, again, it was the bottom of the order that produced their first rally, kind of an odd rally where the Diamondbacks had VR picked off and they just let him go to second base because Manny Pena was at third. And then Arcia cashed in with a double with first base open and the pitcher coming up. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that they're probably talking about here on sports radio in Phoenix this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Brewers, it turned into a positive because it's a contribution in Arcia, a guy who's not looked good. He's not looked comfortable. He's not looked aggressive at the plate. It was, you know, sort of a chance for him to do a little bit of damage. And I think getting some offense at the bottom of the order would answer that. So, you know, the concern is overarching. They just need to score more runs. You know, they're still at the bottom. When I looked last night before the game, it was bottom four in Major League Baseball in runs per game. That number needs to come up for sure because this bullpen's going to go through a stretch where it's not this good. And they're going to give up some late runs. And the offense is going to have to win some games by hitting. And, you know, yesterday the team didn't give up a lot of runs, but those late runs by this Brewers offense, I think was really encouraging for Craig Counsell.
When you talk about encouraging, look, Aguilar has played extremely well. Thames is eventually going to come back. What are you going to do when Thames comes back and you, I mean, do, the argument here, I mean, what many people are talking about is it's time to move Ryan Braun out of the three hole, move him down the lineup. But what are you going to do when Thames is ready to come back and Aguilar's hitting .313? You've got Eric Thames, who's, even though he's .250, he's a legitimate power threat. And then you've got a guy that's struggling that's making $20 million a year. What are they going to do? Do you know?
Well, I mean, I think you just deal with that when you get to it, because if we've learned anything about this team so far this season, is that your best laid plans kind of go to waste when injuries pop up. I mean, how many times has it happened that we've sweated these log jams and then here comes something that completely answers the question? And I would say Eric Thames' injury is one of those in opening regular playing time for Jesus Aguilar. So I don't think it does any good to sweat what's going to happen down the line when you don't know what the configuration of this team's going to be. They've dealt with a lot of injuries so far this season. And I know last year, if you think about it, they had Junior Guerra go down in the third inning on opening day. They lost Ryan Braun early. But when you think about this year, you know, Knebel, they've lost their top two. Their number one starting pitcher right now is Jolie Chassin, who pitches tonight, because Davies and Anderson are down. And they've just had, between injuries and illness and little weird things, they've had a tremendous number of little hurdles to overcome and cover. And, you know, here they are, a quarter of the season in the books, and the Brewers and the Atlanta Braves, of all teams, have the best record in the National League. So I don't know. I think if the first 6 weeks have taught us anything, it's that don't sweat decisions like that until you got to make them.
I agree with that, because they've said this before. When we were down in spring training, sometimes these things take care of themselves and they don't have to worry about it. But, you know, again, you know, I know it's a day-by-day thing with Ryan Braun and that back. I mean, is there something else bothering him? Has it been the back? Has there been other things bothering him this season, or is he just struggling?
Well, the calf has been, I think, the big one this season. That right calf has been off and on bothering him. You know, the back is an issue. He had surgery, you know, what, two off seasons ago, was it? Three off seasons ago. So ever since that, he's getting that back worked on. That's just a maintenance thing. Look, I still think the equation for Ryan Braun is simple, and I've said this to you before, Bill. Simpler for Ryan Braun than any other player I've ever covered. When he's healthy, he's good. When he's not healthy, he's not good. And, you know, to some extent, that's true for everybody. My eyes say that is truer of Ryan Braun than anybody else I've ever seen. And he's been banged up again this year. And, you know, it's not for a lack of preparation. It's, you know, people blame the training staff. And David Stern said with all these injuries, you know, they're looking at it. The soft tissue stuff, you know, you feel like that's maybe a little preventable. Is that preparation? But I know for a fact with Ryan Braun, it is not preparation. It's just that he's 34 years old. And this happens to some baseball players who are 34 years old. And I don't know that you're going to be able to get around it, or at least plan for it not being an issue. I think you just have to have in your head that he's just going to miss games. He's going to miss some games. And you try to get him healthy for as many games as you can. They've invested in him financially. I don't think they're just going to cut ties with that. I mean, I think he's going to be a part of this team, just not as big a part of the team. You mentioned the you know, where he hits in the order. That is something to think about at some point, especially if he can't get healthy. But you know, I don't know when the right point is to do that, because then he'll come out and have a great game and look like Ryan Braun again, and then you think you want him in that three hole. So the whole situation is very, very tricky for Craig Counsell, given Braun's history in the organization, what he's produced in his past, what he still looks capable of producing, the way opposing teams, you know, approach him in a way that makes it, you know, obvious that they view him as still dangerous. It's just this is where Craig Counsell is kind of earning his bucks, because this is for us, it's easy to say, well, punt him, drop him in the order, you release him, all that stuff. I mean, that's an oversimplification, and when you're actually making those decisions, it's a little more difficult.
There's Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider, joining Bill Michaels earlier today on the Bill Michaels Show. If you missed any portion of that, Fan on Demand is at 105.7 FM, thefan.com, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield, or you can listen to it on demand on the radio.com app, the new app for Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, my daily visit on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show with Tim Allen, the host of the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball Postgame Show. You're listening to the only station Brewers fans need, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Stapella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show built by Ozinga. Rami Makhlouf getting you ready for game two of a three-game set between the Brewers and the Diamondbacks. Just about 17 minutes before first pitch. And you know what that music means. Oh, we don't have to call him. You can hang up the phone. Here he is, the host of the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball Postgame Show. Presented by Admirals Hockey. He is Tim Allen. Franchise, how are you, sir?
I'm good. A couple good. Of hot dogs in my backpack here. Relish, onions, ketchup,
just at
mustard.
The doctor?
I was. Well, I'm getting better.
Not my with that diet you're not.
No, my stomach's getting better. I got a chocolate shake and a couple of hot dogs getting ready for game two.
Is that what the doctor prescribed?
No, God, no. Hey, cholesterol levels at 154,
oh,
man.
I don't even know if that's good.
They don't get concerned until about 200.
Oh, you're good then.
Very
you should have
good.
Had a third.
I don't know.
Okay. Tim, the Brewers are 25-17 at the quarter mark of the season. Can they keep up this pace? If not wins, which would get them to 100, can they keep up this level of play for the other three quarters of the season?
It'd be tough. I mean, that's 100 wins.
Right.
That would be tough. That would be challenging. But I mean, what they're doing is building a little bit of a cushion here because they're, and Craig Counsell would admit this, that you'll hit a funk at some point, and which they did. I mean, they lost four in a row to, you know, whoever it was. I can't remember who it was, but they did lose four in a row there, and I wouldn't be surprised at some point they lose four in a row again this year.
Sure. That happens to every team.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And so you built a little cushion to allow that to where it doesn't kill you. And, you know, the team has got to have some sort of better luck in terms of health. I know Vogt, his season is now officially over, and Zach Davies will find out more out of him tomorrow. Chase needs to get better. And, you know, Jimmy Nelson, still no timeline there. But you would assume that those two things would offset each other. So to keep a 100-game pace, that's going to be a tough challenge. But when there is a little bit of a letdown, maybe the offsetting is the guys getting healthier. And so that may help.
Does it feel like they've been that good?
It doesn't. That's the thing. I wake up every morning saying, no, how in the hell are they doing this? I use a different word than hell. But seriously, sometimes I even think that they shouldn't really be doing this. They really shouldn't. So in that regard, we talked about how unlucky at times this team can be, but you know, there is some luck factor here, and that is facing the Diamondbacks at this exact time. You know, they're scuffling over the weekend, and then they get them, and then they get an injury bite yesterday with Pollock going down. And you know, they've got two games left with the Diamondbacks this week and then three again next week at Miller Park. So there's a little luck factor there. But really, if you look at the numbers offensively, they shouldn't be doing it. 25 wins, most in the National League. If you look at it with splash value name recognition in the rotation, they really shouldn't be doing this.
No.
If you look at their defensive numbers, they shouldn't be doing this. The only reason I think where you could point to and say, yeah, I could see that, is their bullpen.
Yeah, the bullpen has been lights out.
Wow. That is the one part that maybe they've cracked a little bit of a code or baseball's leaning in that direction.
I think that's the way that baseball is headed.
Yeah.
With these, you know, the art of bullpenning, which is one of those new baseball terms. Do you like the direction that baseball is headed? Because some people are being dragged kicking and screaming all along the way.
No, I like this because this is strategy.
Yes.
This is chess pieces.
That's what I like
this
about it.
This is movement. This is splits. And this is lefty-righty, righty-lefty. This is all of those things. And this is a pitching change that absolutely has to be done. Last night, the Diamondbacks used four pitchers in the one inning to four consecutive different batters. I mean, that's a Matheny. Matheny did it with six straight a couple of years ago. And so maybe it's probably not a popular thing because we all want the guys to just take it off the sheet and you know, go that route. But I love it.
Who on this team do you wonder if they'll take a dive or a turn for the worse, and maybe that would be what brings this Brewers team back down to earth and off their 100-game pace?
I think collectively, if the bullpen hadn't been doing what they're doing, they probably have three or four less wins. And now it's a different dynamic. You know, now you're looking at, you know, a few games over 500 rather than eight. And this is their high watermark right now. So that, and we all know that the bullpen's going to come down to earth a little bit. They will. But the staggered effect of that is where some of the guys will come down a little bit, Corey Knebel may pick things back up as his health gets a little bit better. So that could even things off a little bit. I don't, you know, I was just talking to Billy, Baby Tausch, on the way in, and it was Yelich, and the Yelich came up, and we were talking about, well, who would you sign long term and things like that, and that's what you need to do as you continue this build here. Yelich might be the most fleeced deal that Stearns has done yet. That guy, that kid,
in terms of what they're paying him,
just the contract,
yeah,
the style of play,
yeah,
checking all
no,
the statistical
he is a
boxes,
bargain.
He really is. He's one hell of a – you want to define a baseball player, a position player, that's Christian Yelich.
I said when the season started, Christian Yelich was the best player on this Brewers roster.
I think he is, and I would agree with that, Rami. He's the best all-around baseball player on this team.
Speaking of building and rebuilding, did you see the – everybody has been posting them, everybody who covers this Brewers team, the pictures from Maryvale Baseball Park?
Yes.
They raised the whole thing down. The only thing that's still standing is the press box.
They need to get our office in there and raise get that thing going.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that.
Our broadcast booth, it'll just say The Fan.
I can't wait for that. I'm sure that's part of the construction plan. I bet you that was the first blueprint that was laid down in front of Mark Attanasio.
Where's the fan's
The
office?
Fan offices.
Yeah, did you see, you know Debbie, right? Debbie from the front office at Maryvale?
Yeah.
yesterday's game, there was a foul pop-up about four rows deep.
Uh-huh.
Ball landed right in her lap. That's a little bit of an inside joke because Debbie, her name is Debbie Dunleavy.
Yeah.
She's head of the, right as you walk into the offices.
The
of
lobby.
The clubhouse. Yeah.
Yeah,
in the lobby.
She's the receptionist.
That's funny.
Of sorts. That is Tim Allen. Catch him and Bill Baby Tausch Schmidt, who just walked in like Kramer from Seinfeld through that door.
On
the Blaze Farm and Fleet baseball postgame show presented by Admirals Hockey is sued. As this game is over, Robbie Maklof saying thanks for listening. Enjoy the game, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.